धबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धाबाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमत्सिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्म निर्भयम् श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा। We are discussing the thousand names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. Since we didn't have this discussion for some time now, therefore, let us try to again focus back onto that which is the basis or that which is to be really known through Lalita Sahasranama. So there are many namas in Lalita Sahasranama that equate Devi with Brahman or Nirguna Parabrahman. Brahman, the word Brahman means Brahatvad, Brahmanatvad, Brahma. So Brahat, it is very big, huge, and Brahmanam. So Brahmanam means that which appears as the world. As the entire world, that which becomes the entire world. So tat srishtva tadevam anupravishat. Taittiriya Upanishad says, Vidyaranya gives a very similar shloka. In Panchadashi as Paramatma dvayananda purna purvam swamaya swayameva jagad bhutva pravishat jivarupatah. Paramatma, Ishvara, Advayananda, Advaya Anandam is Advayam, non-dual, and Anandam in nature. Such a Paramatma, Purnaha, he was complete, perfect in all aspects. Perfect because non-dual, therefore perfect. So perfect in all aspects. Swamaya, by his own Maya, by his own illusion or delusion. Jagat Bhutva, he himself became the entire world and entered it as the Jiva. So Jiva is not different from Brahman. Isha Jivayor Veshadhibhidha Satswabhavato Vastu Kevalam Veshahanata Swatma Darshanam Isha Darshanam Swatma Rupata. So Ramana Maharshi also says the same thing. Isha Jivayor Veshadhibhidha. Isha Jivayor. The difference between Ishvara and Jiva is Veshadhi. With respect to the form and dhi, intellect or knowledge. Ishvara is Sarvajnani, Jiva is Alpajnani. Sat Swabhavatah. Both are Sat in nature and Swabhavatah. Therefore, by essence, Vastu Kevalam, the Vastu is Kevalam, absolute. And Veshahanata, Isha Darshanam, Ishvara Darshanam, or vision of Ishvara without the form, that is like vision of one's own self. Or vision of one's own self without form is Ishvara's Darshanam. Both are exactly the same. So, whatever we are seeing in the world is only an illusion in the non-dual reality of Brahman. Jagat akilam, jagat idam akilam asaram maigameveti manasi manvanah. So in one of the works of Sadashiva Brahmendra, Atma Vidhya Vilasam, there he says, jagat idam akilam. Idam jagat akilam, this entire world, asaram, without any essence, maikam, it is like a magician's creation, manasi manvanah, a person constantly knows in his mind, such a person is a jivan mukta. So jivan mukti or moksha is when a person is completely filled with anandam. So moksha, moksha, what is moksha? Moksha is mukti. Tarati shokam, tarati papmanam. So shokam tarati, tarati shokam atmavit. There is another shloka in Taittiriya Upanishad, shokam tarati atmavit or something similar. So moksha is that state which is devoid of any dukkham, wherein a person is always abiding in anandam, that is the state. And that anandam is possible only when a person knows that the entire world is only an illusion in one entity which alone is present here. So removing the nama rupam, which is the entire world, and perceiving everything as Ishvara, that is the way for moksha. That is moksha. That is moksha as well as, that is both the goal and the means as well. So always remembering that the entire world is one entity, Brahman, which I am also, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jibo Brahmeva Naparaha, that is what is the goal of life. And that moksha, knowingly or unknowingly, moksha is the goal of each and every being in the world, because everybody is seeking anandam. It is anandam that we seek in the entire world. And that anandam, if we have to get, we have to always remember that the entire world is Brahman alone. And that Brahman is formless. So it's very tough to contemplate on formless. Therefore, the scriptures give various forms to it, and one of the form is Devi's form, and that Devi's form worship is being praised in Lalita Sahasranama, along with the truth that the form of Devi is not really Devi. Devi is formless. So Devi appears to have a form depending or based on the seeker's perspective, based on the person viewing it, but she doesn't have any form. That is what Manuvacha, Magochara, there are many namas which say the same thing. But through chanting of Lalita Sahasranama, through remembering the meaning of each of the namas of Lalita Sahasranama, what a person has to or what a person gains is, along with just chanting, mere chanting of Lalita Sahasranama, each time a person chants Lalita Sahasranama, he remembers that each of the nama points out to Nirguna Brahman, that is the goal of life. So each and every nama will make us contemplate more and more on Brahman. That is the goal of Lalita Sahasranama. Chanting of Lalita Sahasranama or learning the nama, meaning of Lalita Sahasranama, all should take us to a state where we are able to constantly contemplate on Devi as Nirguna Brahman. If we go on learning the various namas of Lalita Sahasranama at the same time, we don't, or it doesn't lead us to remember Devi as Nirguna Brahman, then even learning Lalita Sahasranama will not help. So in such a case, Lalita Sahasranama, a person who is learning Lalita Sahasranama, what will happen is the person will go on learn Lalita Sahasranama, but then he will say, oh, Devi is better than Shiva, Devi is better than Krishna, Krishna is better than Devi. All such comparisons will start, and that is Bhedam. That means a person doesn't remember that everything is Brahman. And that is the concept that is being praised here as Devi. So real or knowing or real knowledge of who Devi is only when a person remembers Devi as Nirguna Brahman. So while learning Lalita Sahasranama as well as while chanting Lalita Sahasranama on a daily basis, we should, or it should help us in more and more contemplation that the entire world is one Ishvara, one Brahman alone. So remembering that, let us try to learn the sign next 5 namas from the 331st nama till the 335th nama today. So when a person worships Devi, remembering that Devi is Nirguna Brahman, whether he remembers or not, it doesn't matter. Devi is Varada. Devi gives or grants boons that a person asks. So this is what Krishna says exactly in the 4th chapter of Gita. Ye yatha mam prapadyante mam tataiva bhajamyaham. Whoever worships me in whatever form, I appear to them in that form. Yo yo yam yam tanam bhaktah shraddaya arjitum arhasi tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidadamyaham kamais taitir hrita kamais taitir hrithaha. I forgot the shloka, so there is another shloka like which is in the again the 7th chapter where Krishna says exactly the same thing, that whoever seeks whatever from me, I give that to them. Okay, giving that means there are things which have multiple influences, so in that case it is like whoever puts more effort into it. So two people are driving in a highway or in a normal road, two people are driving in two lanes in the same direction. All of a sudden there is a board of 500 whatever, like maybe within after 1 mile the lanes merge, there will be only one lane. So one person thinks, okay, oh, I'll pray to Devi, like that is, I'll put effort, that's it. But other person, he says, oh, I'll put more effort. He presses on the gas pedal and then he reaches faster. So he's able to get there first. So both people are putting effort, but since the world consists of Nama Rupam, different people, different beings, therefore the outcome of an action doesn't just depend on our effort, other people influence as well, therefore maximum effort has to be put. Therefore sometimes we may not get what we seek because we don't put much effort into it. So this also means that Devi or Ishvara or Brahman is who grants everything, because the entire world is Brahman. Whether we get good or bad, this is Brahman. Whether we meet with an accident, that is also given by Brahman. Whether we get a new car, that is also given by Brahman, because everything is Brahman. If everything is Devi, then what else like can we get other than Devi? So we have to always remember this. And Varada means Devi is capable of giving everything. Everything in the sense, even worldly pleasures as well as the ultimate goal of moksha. But that has to be sought out. So anything, nothing, like we cannot get anything in the world without asking for it. So we have to ask. So once we ask for anything, then we will get it. So a sadhaka will always try to remember that the entire world is one entity, one Brahman, one Devi, and therefore each and every minute we have to pray, I want moksha. What is moksha? Remembering that everything is Devi. Which means, what do we ask? We are not asking, okay, give me knowledge. We are asking, give me the strength that I can remember this knowledge. Give me the strength that I am abiding, I am living in this knowledge that everything is one entity. So that is Varada. Next nama is Om Vamanayanaye Namaha. Devi's Nayanam, or eyes are Vama. Vama means like very beautiful. So Devi's eyes are very beautiful. So why is Devi's eyes very beautiful? So this means that vision of Devi is very beautiful. Eye, when we say like my eyes are beautiful, what it means is, really what should it mean is that if you see from my eyes, see through my eyes, you will see everything as blissful, as beautiful. So Devi's eyes are beautiful because with that vision, the vision of Devi is when we see everything as one. That means everywhere we see only bliss, there is no dukkham at all. Abhito brahmanarvanam vattate vidita atmanam. As Krishna says, for a jnani, for a person who has known the self, known Devi, known Brahman, such a person, bliss will be dancing around such a person. So vision of such a person is Brahman everywhere. So drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. When a person makes his vision that the vision of knowledge, then everything becomes Brahman. He sees everything as Brahman. Yatra yatra mano yati brahmanas tatra darshanam. Wherever the mind goes, there is only Brahman. Though Namarupa might be seen, still the mind asserts that it is only Brahman, and thereby Anandam pervades the mind. And that comes out as well, comes out through the openings of Indriyas. So Devi's eyes are beautiful because Devi's vision is vision of knowledge, wherein everything is seen as blissful. So bliss is beauty, real beauty is bliss. So a Mahatma like Amma or Balakrishnan Nair, they have real beauty because they are ever blissful. They can give bliss to others. So other beautiful people like Aishwarya Rai or Angelina Jolie, they are not really blissful. Beauty is their external beauty, but that will vanish after some time. Some people might consider or think it as beautiful, some people might not. But or people who are in their presence may feel their physical body as beautiful, not their mind. Whereas a person who is abiding in Brahman, who is always remembering that everything is Ishvara, any person, whether a God believer or not God believer, a person who is scientific or spiritual, irrespective of from where a person comes or whatever he believes, in such a Mahatma's presence, he'll be able to experience bliss, experience the calming of the mind, experience the bliss emanating. He can experience it. So that is what is the meaning of this Nama Vamanayana. So Bharada, we have to always pray to Devi that Vamanayana, give me beautiful eyes. What is beautiful eyes? Beautiful eyes means give me the strength that I may remember that everything is Brahman at all points of time. So Om Varuni Madha Vihvalaye Namaha. So Varuni Madha Vihvala means like Varuni. There is a Varuni Madha. So Varuni means it is a kind of intoxication. Intoxicant, we can say. So that Devi got intoxicated by the toxic called Varuni. So the significance or the deeper meaning here is Varuni is a nadi. So nadi from which Anandam, the honey of Anandam, essence of Anandam comes. So that means Devi is ever intoxicated, always intoxicated in bliss. So if we look at Mahatmas like Amma and others, we can see that whatever happens, whether people around them are cursing them or praising them, whether they are alone, they are among people, among followers, among other people, irrespective of where they are, what they are doing, they are ever intoxicated in Anandam. That is because they have the vision of knowledge. So if we ask Devi that I want, like give me the strength that let me have this vision of knowledge, that is the only thing I need in life, then we also will be intoxicated by this toxic. So this is much more intoxicating than even other addictions. So Sureshwaracharya beautifully answers an objection in Naishkarmi Siddhi. So when an objection is raised, opponent raises an objection. So when our opponent raises an objection saying that or asking that, oh, I have learned the scripture now, but what if I forget and fall down again? So Krishna also speaks about yoga brashtas, people who fall from yoga. So what would happen? So Sureshwaracharya says, oh, what do you think about Shastram? What do you think about knowledge? Knowledge also is intoxicating. It is also an addiction. And its addiction is much more stronger than all other addiction, because all other addictions only temporarily give bliss, but here we can experience real bliss for a period of time. Therefore, it is much more intoxicating, much more addictive than any other thing. And a person who has learned the shastra and he falls down, shastra will pull him back again. So that means, and so that is exactly what would happen. Like if we get intoxicated by this toxic, the toxic of vision of knowledge, the addiction of remembering that everything is Devi, then there will not be any time that we can stay away from it. There will not be any time when we can forget this. And Om Vishwadikaye Namaha, Vishwadikaye Namaha. Devi's addiction is, or Devi's state, intoxicated state. That state is an addiction. Like once we get into that state, it is an addiction because Vishwa Adhika, it is beyond everything in the world. So whatever we find in the world, generally addiction is when we find something which is beyond or something which we haven't experienced till now. We'll say, oh, this is, oh, I haven't experienced it. Let me experience it. So that's one way. Another way is that the entire world is dukkam, dukkam ayam, anityam asukam lokam. This entire world is filled with dukkam. And this is beyond dukkham. So Devi state, intoxicating state of Devi is beyond dukkham. So Vishwa Adhika, it is beyond dukkham. Thereby, like we have to seek it. So we have to constantly ask Devi that, oh Devi, give me the strength that I may remember. And if I forget, if at all I forget or I don't have the conviction that everything is Brahman, everything is Ishvara, then what should I do? Om Veda Vedhyaye Namaha. Then learn the Vedas. Learn Vedas here means Veda Antas, or knowledge portion of the Vedas, because Veda Vedhya, Devi can be known through Vedas. Veda Vedhya, Vedya means known, and Vedya, Veda means Vedas. So Devi is known through the Vedas. So in some cases, like as Uraya Shiranna gives, in some cases Devi's alayam, Devi's house, the door of Devi's house is considered to be door, or like Gopura. Gopura means not door exactly, but it's the support beam, we can say. So the beams of Devi's house is Vedas. That means Devi stands on Vedas. So if at any point of time we feel that we are not able to focus, we are not able to remember that everything is Ishvara, the conviction is not there, though we have learned that Vamanayana, beautiful vision, Varini Madha Vipala, Vishwa Adhika will go beyond Dukkham and all, but still we don't remember it, then if at any point of time we feel like that, we just need to learn Vedanta again. We just need to take up any Vedantic translation, look at it, read Bhagavad Gita, read the Upanishads, read other scriptural works of Shankara. Immediately we will be able to feel that we are getting the conviction. The conviction is coming back and we will be able to remember that everything is Devi, because Veda Vedya, Devi is known through the Vedas. The Vedas is the mirror, as Paramartha beautifully says. Vedas are the mirror in which we can see our indwelling Devi. The Devi who resides in our heart, that Devi can be seen through the mirror of Vedas. So we can't see our face. The only way to see our own face is by keeping a mirror in front of us. Similarly, we cannot see our own self because we are already the self, but we can see it through the mirror. And somehow we not only not see our own self, but we get deluded into thinking that the world is real and we are so and so. I am so and so person. I am in bondage. I need this, I need that. So we are into too many illusions. So if we have to come out of it, then we have to take up the mirror of Vedas. If we take up the mirror of Vedas or Vedantas, then immediately each and every Vedantic work, including the Prasthanatrayam, each and every portion of Prasthanatrayam, we can find this truth embedded. A person who has Hamsabuddhi, a person who is able to split water from like milk, like the Hamsa, Swan do, so he'll be able to read any scriptural work and immediately feel that whatever the scripture mentions is only that, everything is Brahman. And that can be found in many places. We take up the 12,000 odd shlokas of Bhagavatam, we can find in each and every story the mention of Brahman. Advitiya Satyam being mentioned each and every portion of Bhagavatam. Each and every chapter of Gita we can find Krishna mentioning about Advitiya Satyam, that everything is Brahman, in many shlokas in each of the chapters of Gita. Each of the Dashopanishad if we take, we can find many shlokas which directly and indirectly means implying that everything is Brahman. And other works, we don't need to speak about other works. The works like Shankara's many works, Nirvana Shatkam, Anusandhanam works, or Panchadashi and other works, intellectual works, logical works, introductory works. Whatever works are there, we can find each and every portion, we can find Brahman. Why is it that way? So even as in electricity is present in the entire house, but still we can feel the presence only when we switch on and put a bulb, and we can feel the presence of electricity. Similarly, though the entire world is pervaded by Brahman, but still in some places in the Vedas, in the Vedanta, in the Upanishads, we can find Brahman very clearly. Even as in Mahatmas, we can find Brahman. So at times, like, we may not feel like believing a new Mahatma, we may not be willing to completely surrender to a Mahatma, that is also fine. Nobody is forcing here, it's not essential as well. If we can, well and good. If we cannot, if something is hindering, obstructing us, then still fine. We just have to take up any scriptural work and have some inquisitiveness, or like not just literally go with the translation or the meaning, but use a little bit of our intellect, not much, little bit of intellect, and then we'll be able to ascertain that the entire world is Brahman. So if many people who aren't much learned, like, have been able to apprehend this truth, so we can definitely, we who have graduates and we are our intellect is well established, therefore well established not in spirituality but well established in worldly means as well. So our intellect is not that weak, it is sharp. So we just need to, like, put a little effort and we'll find that everything is Brahman. But while reading any scriptures, though we already know now, therefore while reading any scriptures or doing any activity, whether it is spiritual or anything, we have to always remember that everything is Brahman. Nimeshardham tishtanti vrittim brahmamayim vina. So not even for half a second or half a moment do these people remain without the thought that everything is Brahman. Who? Sanaka, Sanandana and all those saints, as well as Narada and various munis, rishis and Brahma, etc. Yata tishtanti brahmadyah sanakadayah. So, like, even as such shukadayah as well, so sanakadi bihi and shukadayah, I guess some, I don't remember the exact shloka, but all those like shukha, brahma, sanaka, all those are known for being ever blissful. Wherever we hear about them, we hear that they are ever happy. So that happiness can come to us as well if we are able to remain at all times remembering that everything is Brahman. And this doesn't mean we have to get rid of activities. We can still do our worldly activities, regular activities, everything can happen, just remembering that everything is Brahman. And learning the namas of Lalita Sahasranama with focus that Devi is Nirguna Brahman and that is being praised, or Devi as Nirguna Brahman is being praised in Lalita Sahasranama, will definitely increase our contemplative time. Because whenever we chant Lalita Sahasranama half an hour, 45 minutes in a day, all those like 45 minutes on the each and every thousand names of Devi we chant, we will remember that Devi is Nirguna Brahman, and that will take us to the intoxicated state. To the intoxicated state where a person is intoxicated by the bliss of Brahman. So may that day come very soon, and may Amma bless us so that such a day may come soon, very soon, in this very birth itself, I'm sure.